Psalm 34. The Lord is good. Can I hear amen? Amen. The Lord is good. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we bless you this morning. There are many things that are happening that are not good, but you are good this morning. And the reason we say that is because you saw what we needed and you provided for it on the cross. And therefore, there is no condemnation. There is no thing that can separate us from your love. We can go through many trials and many temptations and many tribulations, but you're good. And you have promised that when we trust you, when we come to you, Lord, we can rest and we can receive the peace that comes from you, from trusting that you're still God, that you're still in control, you're seated at a throne, and you are coming again as you came the first time. You're going to come again. We're going to pray especially for Brother Brian, Pastor Brian and his family. We're going to pray for each one of the families that are not here today, that you please, Lord, bless them. Bless them, Lord, with the joy and the contentment, knowing that you have their lives in control. And then you have the perfect solution for all of our troubles that we are facing today, Lord. We praise you and lift up everyone that is struggling today in their hearts, in their minds, to believe and to trust in you, that they're not understanding the message of the gospel. We praise you and give you thanks this morning because we want to glorify everything that we say and do. Glorify you to your advance of the kingdom in our hearts, in everyone, in our family, in our community. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Two things that I think we're going to do today. We're going to read the Bible. We're going to pray. Brother Mike lead us already in songs to people was here, but I want you to look at this couple thoughts. I never like to preach a message that I don't understand myself, so I've been using this psalm this week. So when Brother Brian, when he told me that he was not doing good, I was like, this is the perfect psalm, Psalm 34, to share with you. David is so convinced that God will deliver the righteous that he challenged you. Two things, taste and see. One of the most difficult things in our lives is when we cannot see. One of the challenges that we have as Christians is called discernment. We are sometimes it takes a while to discern things. Sometimes we just want to see and we want to know what I see is truth and what is happening. I can see it with my eyes. Remember Thomas when Jesus told him, I'm going to show up, and he's like, until I put my finger. So as Christians, we have a lot of challenges when we talk about seeing. We want to see. And so Psalm 34, verse 8, and all these verses that I want to read, I want you to focus on the importance of how good is God. When I was sharing these Bibles yesterday, I saw a lot of young people that they were really mad at me because I was doing that. I wasn't tearing Bibles because I wanted to hurt people. I was there because I wanted to tell them about God. Hey, there's something good happening in our community. There is a Bible. There is a message for you today. And they were looking at me like, oh, are you one of those people who wash brain? How do you say that in English? Brainwash. Are you one of those brainwashed people? I'm like, explain to me, what is that? Oh, those people who brainwash and then they tell people and about somebody who doesn't exist. I'm like, you're talking about my God. Can you see your nose? He's like, oh, that was funny. So they were looking at their nose and like, well, your nose was created by God. Can you see it? Yeah. Can you see your nose? I don't do it because it looks silly. But they could see it. And they were like, oh, you have a nose. Can you see it? And they were just cracking each other. And they're like, well, you can see it. You have a nose. You can breathe. You're alive. God created you. Oh, that's cheesy. You can say that too this morning too. But that's the only thing I could come up with, That's an example that God is real. And one of the things that we're talking about in here is that the Lord is good because we have a lot of things, a lot of reasons to complain. This morning you have a lot of thousands of reasons to complain and do not come to church. But when we talk about coming to the Lord and talking to about God, we're going to learn that God is the only one who has good things for you. I don't know anybody else. I mean, you probably, I enjoy when Brother Brian told me that we're going to get donated these speakers for today, and I was so blessed by it. But not all the times our material things are important as the blessing of God. And one of the things that we want to see is that, oh, unless God gives me the millionaire or God gives me the lottery, that means God is good. How do you see God's goodness today in your life? How can we acknowledge the importance of God's goodness? Well, you know what? Because you just read it. We just read it in the book of this book of Psalms, chapter 34. This means that each verse we're going to have in here has an acronym in here. The Lord is good. So we got our Psalm 44. I want to make sure that we get the number one thing is that you can see God's blessing. The goodness of God is that God has saved you. Salvation is at the top of all the things that you have received in this world. That will be the only one that will take you into eternity forever with Jesus. Salvation, I think this pulpit is too small to explain my arm and say, I want all the people in the world to come and listen about Jesus' salvation. A lot of people in Mexico do this. They have tradition and they come on their knees, like at least 20 miles, carrying an idol in their hands. And they kneel all the way there because maybe at the end they will be forgiven. Because maybe at the end they will receive a miracle. Maybe at the end they will be this closer to God. Maybe. When we talk about God's goodness, is the number one thing that God has given us is salvation. If you ever think about the importance of salvation, what God has saved you from? Where would you be right now if it wasn't because somebody took time to tell you about Jesus? What kind of person would you be if you were not able to listen and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ in your heart? Where would you be? You know what? I will tell you what. I will be dead. Not only spiritually dead, but physically dead. Because I was very silly. Well, I'm silly now, but I was sillier when I was younger. Can you imagine that? I've seen friends from high school say, are you what? Yeah, I'm saved. Which means what? You don't drink anymore. You don't smoke anymore. You don't do this anymore. You don't do this. I said, no, I understood the goodness of God. I understood that this world has nothing to offer me. I know of these people that walk 20 miles on their knees. They don't know any goodness. They just know the bitterness. They just know the anger. They just know the horrible problem of law in their lives, that they don't see the goodness of God. That you see their consequences being, they come to confess to the priest, and the priest tell them, go ahead and do this. But when you understand the salvation that we have is from the Lord, if we wish to experience this verse, we have in verse 1 to 6, there are a couple words. And I used to be a teacher in Mexico, and I don't do that anymore. Well, I'm going to do it next week when they have the classes, but I like to teach words. So, I want to share with you these words that are going to help you to understand the better the context of this Psalm 34. When we hear all these negative things, we have some words in here that the writer of this psalm used in this psalm to tell you about how to taste and see that God is good. He uses this word, bless. What is the opposite of bless? Don't say anyone. Just tell me the opposite of bless is not good. Right? We're going to do to all those words the same definition. The opposite of blessed is not good. So this morning, I want to talk to you about this word, bless. And that's how David started his psalm and says, I will bless the Lord. I want to tell you something. How many of you want to bless the officer that pulled you over after give you a ticket? I will bless that officer because he's doing his job. And I don't want to be so personal, but this morning I have to bless my wife a couple times. I bless you. God bless you. Sometimes we don't want to say the things that we want to say because the Holy Spirit is in us and doesn't let us say things that we used to say when we were angry, things that we used to say when we were not safe. When we're talking about God's goodness, we're not using our bitterness to talk to people about our feelings. We use words like bless. God bless you. And you know, when I was working in some of the people in Nebraska and I was sharing with the churches, and I said, God bless you. And you know what some folks will say? That's too corny. Who says that anymore? Among Christians, can you say, God bless you? What a privilege. And so many people just do it because of the social context. Bless you. When somebody sneezes, right? Bless you. And now when somebody sneezes, everyone like, oh, stay away from that person. Oh, no, he has the COVID or stuff like that. But when we say, hey, God bless you, what are we telling that person? We're telling, enjoy, taste, and see God's goodness. God bless you. When we leave this morning, make sure you tell somebody, God bless you. That will be the only good word you're going to hear throughout the rest of the week. What a better place to listen to that than in church. God bless you. God bless you. This morning when my wife and the girls were going to Overland with my mom, I say, God bless you, mi amor. She's like, well, we already pray. Yeah, I just wanted to say, God bless you. God bless you. It's very simple. And like I said, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's just one of the words that the Hebrew shows in there. And I love Hebrew. I love Greek. Don't quote me on all those things. I just like to pick some of the words. And that's one of the words, which means to humble or kneel before. Next one is praise. What is the opposite of praise? Not good. Okay? The opposite of praise is not good. The positive or the right connotation of praise is to sing a song of praise. This morning, did you sing a song to the Lord? We were singing with brother here. They were beautiful songs. And I'm going to start singing a song. Santo, tú eres santo. Don't worry, I'm not going to break your system over there, brother. But that song was bringing me tears in my heart about the holiness of God, that he allows us to come into his presence. And we can just praise him. I don't deserve to be here this morning. Like I said before, if it wasn't for salvation, I wouldn't be here. So my job today is to praise the Lord. We're going to say, praise him, to sing a song of praise. The next one, boast, to boast crazy, exuberant praise. In this passage in here, it's telling us that when we talk about the goodness of God, we're not just going to say, oh, God is good. Let me tell you this morning, God is good. Amen. Yeah. And say, God is good. And the opposite of good will be bad. So the world is bad, but God is good. So who are you following this morning? God. If you want to follow the world, you're going to be bad. That's very simple. I can do that in an elementary class. I'm not trying to pick on your brain saying that or demonize your intellectual capacity. I'm just trying to play it simple because this passage has been in my heart the whole week. And I want to share with you as a way of blessing the Lord and blessing you. And then the next word is magnify. To grow, to magnify. And the last one will be exalt. To rise up, to set on high. So all those words help us to understand and explain people, why do you come to church? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? That's one of the funny questions they asked me yesterday. So tell me about prayer. Why is that prayer thing so important? God already knows what I need. So why? Because God's good. Because God is good. I need to pray. I need to read about him. I need to tell others about him. And we have a discipleship class in Chesterfield every Sunday at 4. We got to that session number 4. Tonight we're going to talk about prayer. And you know what? I'm already praying for Ermilanda and for Naum. They are brand new babies in Christ. They said, we need that thing that you have. He said, I don't have a thing. I have a God. I have a God. And when people ask you, what do you have different that I don't have? It's God's goodness. I love Moses. Remember Moses? When he went up to the mountain, when he came back, what did he have to do? He had to put something on his head, remember? Sunday school teachers, don't leave me down here. What did Moses put on his head? A veil. Why? Because his face was reflecting God's glory, God's goodness. You remember, if God wouldn't talk to Moses and tell Moses about his plans for salvation, the Israelites will be slaves for the rest of their lives. But God's goodness showed up to Moses and told him, hey, I want you to go and take my people out. And God was talking to Moses so much that his face reflected God's glory. God's goodness is going to be in your face when you use words to glorify the Lord, to exalt the Lord. And people are going to ask, what's different on that person? Why is that person smiling? Why is that person not angry? Why is that person not bitter when he has all the reasons to be bitter and angry and upset? because we are listening to the invitation from David and exalt the name. And we read all this. Exalt, bless, praise, boast in the Lord, be glad, magnify the Lord, exalt the Lord. Why do you have to do this? Because God delivers. Again, we wouldn't be here because of ourselves. We are here because of God's grace. Verses 7 to 10. Now I'm going to read it. I didn't read the other ones. The angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no one to those who fear him. The young lions, I don't know about those, but I'm not a lion. But the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack anything. So God delivers. Test him and see. Those who fear the Lord are protected. My sister called me and said, the boys are going to school tomorrow. She's in Houston. What should I do? Every time they leave, I feel desperate. I feel frustrated. I feel like I'm sending my kids to the lions. And my little one, his name is Jacob. He's Jacob. He says, Mommy, I don't want to go to school. The teacher is always angry. I don't know if any teacher is here, but we have the capacity to look angry all the time. So, I said, I got a passage for you. Her name is Faye. Faye, I have a passage for you. Psalm 34, 7 and 10. The angel of the Lord. If you and I don't trust in the Lord, if you and I don't receive the goodness of God, we're going to be always doubting. We're always going to be on fear. And I didn't say that in the beginning. I didn't want to be that obvious. But this psalm was written by David when he was pretending to be crazy because he was afraid of somebody chasing him. His name was King Saul. Aren't you surprised that sometimes we are more worried about people who are closer to us than those who are away from us? King Saul is chasing David, and King Saul is chasing David because King Saul hates David. And David is trying to pretend to be crazy so he can go through this land that was of his enemies. And he goes by, he pretends to be crazy, and they say, oh, send him away, I don't want him here. But that was his way of escaping. He was escaping from fear. He was afraid of King Saul. Don't you remember that David was the one who killed Goliath? But why is David so afraid of King Saul if King Saul was not as tall? And I'm not trying to mix the stories in here. I still know what I'm talking about. Don't worry, I'm not crazy. But I'm really excited about telling you that David was afraid of King Saul, but was not afraid of Goliath. And so many times the people who are close to her, we're more worried about them than the real enemy. And that creates a big chaos in our spiritual walk because I'm expecting right now when I come to preach a message, I'm expecting that people are praying for me. When I go out to the field with the boots on the ground, I'm expecting people praying for me. When I present the gospel, when I'm counseling a couple, I'm expecting people pray for me so we can be gracious to those people that are not. And so many times we found our folks or Christian people criticizing. Oh, look at him. He's not doing anything. Oh, we're paying him for nothing. Oh, and David was afraid of King Saul more than Goliath. Why? Because he didn't expect King Saul to be his enemy. He was expecting King Saul to be his king, to support him, to help him to become the man that he needed to be. And so many times, the lack of support in our families is one of the reasons we fail to follow Christ. We feel like nobody is backing you up. But I want to remind you this morning, when David got out of that city and came into this cave, he wrote this psalm, and he said, I will bless the Lord. Everybody else had put his back on him. He came running, escaping for his life, and he found his refuge in only one person, and it was the person of God. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord because those who are fearing, those who are blessing the Lord are always protected. David found all his protection in God's presence. He didn't find it in the rest of people. So many times, the only place that we can go and rest is in God's presence. And that's what we have faith to believe in him. It's a privilege to have the faith that you have to believe that God is taking care of you, that God is protecting you, that when the kids go to school, the angel of the Lord encamps. The angel of the Lord is with you. The angel of the Lord is going to lead you. The angel of the Lord is going to protect you because you have decided to put your trust in God. Not on King Saul, not on King David, not on King Juan. Oh, I'm not a king, right? I'm not a king, never mind. So I'm going to have to wrap up in here. God delivers, he rescues me. I have one more. Learn, this is the very important God's blessing, is learn the fear of the Lord. He blessed me. And that's the main passage. I wanted to spend more time on my main passage, but I just have to wrap it up. Call my children, listen to me. Psalm 34, 11. My final point today is, who are we teaching about God's goodness? One thing is that you learn about God's goodness. One thing is you teach about God's goodness. Who are you going to tell about God's goodness? Who are you going to tell about the reason that you are worshiping the Lord on Sundays? There's no better time in my life when I gather my two girls and every night before we go to bed, say, girls, we're going to sing Jesus songs. Sorry, let me teach you about God. I'm going to read, we're going to read the Bible. They like to sing then, and then they're like, but who are you teaching about God's goodness? First, are you receiving God's goodness? Are you teaching God's goodness? That's what I want to talk about here. It says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? And that's what Alan, my father-in-law, he's not a Christian believer. He believes in a lot of things. He told me, so you folks live always in fear? So you're always afraid of everything? Listen, this is a 62-year-old man who's been a hard worker the rest of his life. He's grew up in Grand City. He's my father-in-law. He said, I don't like your religion. You guys are afraid of everything. I'm going to give you this as a homework. If Brother Brian asked me, I'm going to tell him that I sent you a homework. Who are you going to teach about the fear of the Lord? Well, what is the fear of the Lord? You're going to be like my father-in-law, Alan, just negative, 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 negative? Or you're going to learn to fear of the Lord means holiness. The fear of the Lord means integrity, that I do the right even when no one is watching me. The fear of the Lord to treat people in your life the way they should be treated. I had a pastor that called me the other day and said, oh, I'm really mad at my wife. And we're friends, you know, we've been friends forever. We graduated from school, and what should I do? I said, when's the last time you bought her a new dress? I don't know. I don't put a couples here in trouble. I'm just asking. I'm telling you. The fear of the Lord is, are you loving people the way God loves you? That means because you can do that because you're loving God the way God is loving you. Are you loving your neighbors? We got a neighbor here. His name is Lorenzo. He's right here in a house back here. Lorenzo. You pray for him. He's a Hispanic guy. Not because he's my Hispanic guy, but he's your neighbor right here. And he came to the BBS, and he was here every day. He was picking up his daughter and his son. But Lorenzo doesn't know the goodness of God. He only knows that he needs to work hard every day of his life, at least 12 hours, to get provision for his family. And I said, Lorenzo, the most important provision for your family is that you give him a faith to believe in God. He said, Lorenzo, nope. You people are just brainwashers. That's the same word that he used. And you know, for so many people, we're just brainwashers. But when we communicate the fear of the Lord, we're not going to just pretend to be Christians. We're going to love people the way God loves them. We're going to teach people the fear of the Lord, not just because we are taught in a Sunday school class, but we want to teach them because our lives reflect the building of God's goodness in your life. Can you see goodness this morning? Look at the person next to you. I see goodness, God's goodness in you. God bless you. Can you see goodness in the person on the back of you? This is, folks, this is our most important gathering that we have. We couldn't gather for a long time because of COVID. Some people are not here because of that. But if you get the chance to see somebody that is running the same race that you are, run together and encourage one another and say, hey, let's do this together. I am so happy for the people who are going to Arkansas to deliver those shoe boxes. That's a great opportunity to the ministry. You walk out the street and you say your neighbor, good morning, neighbor. That's it. Well, my neighbor doesn't speak English. Well, say buenos dias, and they'll learn how to say Spanish. And that means you love your neighbor. You care enough to say hi. And I understand that the world is full of bad news. Today, we have a lot of bad news. This morning, you get up and read the newspaper, and you were like, oh, no, those are bad news. But if you're a Christian, you know that's why those news are happening. Matthew 24, you're going to go look. Matthew 24, the Lord is coming. Amen? The Lord will be here in a blink of an eye, and we'll be gone. We'll be gone. Are you leaving? Are you staying? I want to go. Lord Jesus, come soon. Take me today before taxes day. No, that's another story. So let's go up. I think it's 5 before the hour, and I don't want to keep you more than that. Sorry, I have to show you. Are you refuging in God? Are you living in fear of God? Are you tasting and seeing God's goodness? Today is the day to taste and see the goodness of God. So I'm going to close with an invitation. In your heart, come and see and taste the goodness of God. This morning, I want you to leave this place and say, Lord, thank you for your goodness. And you're not going to just give it to yourself. You're going to give it to somebody else and say, God, goodness on you. God bless you. I hope that you have a wonderful week. I hope that we'll see you next week. I hope that you don't get the COVID. I hope that you are getting God's goodness. And we're going to continue. And we'll say, next week, we're going to continue together and say, bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord in all times. The opposite of bless is curse. You don't want to curse with your attitude. You don't want to curse with your words. And you know what? They said 8 out of 10 Christians curse in a day. More, I don't want to talk about it, but I want you to invite you. I will ask you to you come and say, I will bless the Lord in your place, in your seats. Can you say this morning, I want to receive God's goodness, not because of me. That's a Mexican missionary there. It's not about me. It's about that Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord. I will taste and see God's goodness. Lord, thank you this morning because time flies. In eternity, it's going to be a beautiful time because there's not going to be time. That means we're going to be forever. We're going to be forever in your presence, Lord. We'll be doing the things that we do here for a couple hours a week. We'll be doing it forever. So before we get to heaven, Lord, help us to taste and see the goodness that you have for us. To taste and see and to learn how to live in fear, not to people, not to other Christians, not to the church, not to other entities, but to fear God. With all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, so we can love people, love our neighbors with all my heart, with all my strength. We will do this because you are good and your goodness endures forever. We praise you and give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.